Okay, let's see if we can play a guessing game. What mitzvah in Parshas Vayera do you think I'm going to talk about? What? I can't hear. Well, what? What'd you say? I didn't hear. Not a Chodesh HaZelechem. That's in Parshas Bo. Okay, which mitzvah in the parsha? What? It's tricky because there is none. So I've got a trick. Well, I could talk about a mitzvah drabanan of Abrakosos. That's the most logical. But I won't do that. But I'll quote the same pasuk. The pasuk says, for the Shonos of Geula. Remember? Votzeisi eschem itachas ivlos mitzrayim, v'itzalti eschem evadasam, v'gaalti eschem esra netuya, v'lakachti eschem nilam, v'eveisi eschem sarts. The people who listened carefully heard the verbs. How many verbs?
Five.
But they're four lashonos of gula. And we know, four, votzeisi, v'itzalti, v'gaalti, v'lakachti. The night of Pesach, we drink apokosos. Most people drink apokosos. Some people know that there were people who drank a fifth kos, and they said there's a fifth lashon of gula. Veveisi, the Maharal was famous that he really believed in the fifth coast. But I said, that's not my topic. There are, must be seats, no?
How's the first stand?
Okay. So there are five lashons of gula. And the night of Pesach, most people only drink four. Why don't we drink Veveisi? Why don't we do this? The answer is simple, because the night of Pesach, we are reliving the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So where are we? We're leaving Mitzrayim. We're not in Eretz Yisrael. So the idea of drinking a fifth kos veveisi eschemah, it did not come true. So the fourth kos, but there's no veveisi. That's the normal explanation. But I want to ask a different question. Did veveisi really come true? The night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we say, okay, that night Veveisi didn't yet come true. Did it come true at all? So you say, of course it came true. How many years later, at least 40 years later, Bnei Israel come, at least, let's say 40 years later, Bnei Israel come and tarry to Israel, Veveisi Yitzchem El Arts. So did it come true or not?
Not for those people.
So the problem is, what about those people? Veveisi Yitzchem El Arts, I'll bring you. So did that come true or not? So, different mefarshim ask this question, and some give different answers. If I remember correctly, the Arachayim HaKadosh said that Veveisi did not come true. But God promised it would come true. No, God did not promise. God made a stipulation. V'idatem k'ani Hashem Elokeichem. If you acknowledge Ribbono Shel'Olam without any hesitations, problems like that, then you'll get Eretz Yisrael. And that stipulation was not met by the people, and therefore the Veveisi did not really come true. That's, if I'm not mistaken, what the Arachayim HaKadosh says. Anybody know why he's called Arachayim HaKadosh? There are a few people in Jewish history that are called HaKadosh. Arachayim is one of them. Do you know why? Do you ever think about it? Just curious why I thought about it and you didn't. Another time I'll tell you why. Veveisi, so the Arachayim says that, who else was known as HaKadosh? What?
The
Shlach HaKadosh? Who else? The Ari HaKadosh? Who else? The Alshech HaKadosh. Offhand, I don't remember anybody else. Maybe you tell me I don't remember anybody else. You have somebody else? What? Who? I don't think so. The book! Anyway, I never wrote Shem Bayochai HaKadosh or ever wrote the Zohar. I shouldn't have done that. But there are other mafashim who say differently. Ibn Ezra in Chumash says Veveisi Yitzchem El Aretz, says it did come true. When? To the grandchildren. That's a very important, interesting lesson. If something was promised to me and it comes true to my grandchildren, is that considered that it came true? He says, yeah, because my children are like me. Other people say it came true to some of them. Which ones? The ones who were 20. Below 20. The ones below 20 might have lived till later, and they could be. But this is the excuse for the mitzvah of the week. Veveisi eschem el aretz The Gemara in Bava Basra says it did come true. It did. The Gemara doesn't say black and white what I'm saying. The Gemara says, uses a phrase that I want you to be aware of. Eretz Yisrael muchzekesi. Eretz Yisrael was owned by Yotzei Mitzrayim. Ve'vesi Yisrael Malaretz came. Kuf Yitzayim. But when you ask me a question like that, you know what happens if I don't know. You always embarrass me.
You say,
So the Gemara in Bava Basra says that Eretz Yisrael muchzakas. By the way, if you, I'm referring to two different Gemaras. One's in Kuf Yates and one's in Kuf Yud Zayin. The one Kuf Yates is going to be a little bit different. What I just said, Kuf Yates is there also, but Kuf Yud Zayin is what I wanted to explain right now. The Gemara says, what does this mean? Eretz Yisrael muchzakas. It belongs to us. From when? It belongs to us from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The people who left Mitzrayim owned Eretz Yisrael. That's very interesting. Because normally you don't think somebody owned something until they were there and made it an actual kinyan. HaKadosh Baruch, whose promise to them, Be'beis Eschem Al Eretz, is the Haknoah, is like a kinyan, that Am Yisrael was called Eretz Yisrael. For what purpose? What do I mean, it belonged to them? What does that mean? So I see, it makes me feel better that the kinyan of Eretz Yisrael was accomplished and the promise was fulfilled. Okay, that makes me feel better. How is Ve'beis Yeschem Ha'aretz fulfilled? Because they made a kinyan Eretz Yisrael, it belongs to them. But, okay, but what does that mean practically? So that's why the Gemara and Kuf Yud Zayin, Kuf Yud Tes complement each other. The Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael Muchzekesi. The Gemara says, Benos Slavchad, inherited the land. Based on what? And how did they inherit the land? So you understand that if my father has something, I have three brothers. I only have two brothers, but let's say I have three brothers. What makes a difference? I have two brothers, Baruch Hashem. So I have two brothers, and let's say, for the sake of discussion, that I have a brother who's a Bechor, and I have a younger brother who's... So we're three brothers. So let's say my father left four pieces of land that are all of the same value. So we each get one and a third. Okay? That's the way you would do it. However, there's the Nebuchar. A Bukhar gets double. So you'd have to figure out how to do this Chalukah, which is not my interest right now. Benos Slavchad. So they were the children of Slavchad. Oh, come on. Benos Slavchad ben Chefer, ben Gilad, ben Machi, ben Menashe. Right? Chefer was a Bukhar. So they get their father's double share. Their father's Chefer, he didn't get into Eretz Yisrael, right? That's the whole story. So, they get the Chelek HaBuchar. You guys are with me? Because it's a little Bava Basra now? What's the Kasha? They got Chelek HaBuchar. Kasha's obvious. But it could be that you don't know the din. This is the Masechta that I learned in Karen B'Avna in 1960. So we learned this parak. So the Gemara says that a Bechor does not get Pishnayim B'roi, not B'muchzak. Only B'muchzak. I'll explain what that means. My father, when he passed away, I'm making this up, of course. When my father passed away, he had, let's say, 12 houses. Okay, B'seder. He also had debts of $2 million. People owed him $2 million. So the din is that I inherit everything. Me and my two brothers, we inherit everything. But the Bukhar only gets Pishnayim in what my father has, Lamasa. He has 12 houses, he gets Pishnayim. But in the money that's owed to him, that's called Ra'ui. Magialo, Ra'uilo, Avalenglo. He should get it, but he doesn't have it. That's called Ra'ui. The Bukhar doesn't get Pishnayim B'Ra'ui. Because who's the Baal Kriya? Bechol ki yasa bechol ben aslo yakid lasas lo pishnayim bechol ashe yimotze lo mashe matzui etzlo. If he has it, he gets pishnayim. So you understand the kasha, right? Why would Benos Tavchad get a double share of their father's bechorah? Does he own Eretz Yisrael? No, he was promised Eretz Yisrael in the future. So his promise in the future shouldn't work. So why would it work? So what's the Gemara's answer? Eretz Yisrael muchzakesi. No, it belongs to them now. It's not considered Roy, they're considered Muchzak. Eretz Yisrael is considered Muchzak, that's the mitzvah of owning Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of Yishuv Ha'aretz. Can you imagine that? In a certain sense, like I always raise this question, which is, I really could have gone into this more, but I'm just going to mention it. I have a friend who, I'm sure a lot of your parents, a lot of your grandparents, live in Gullis. But they bought an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. They own an apartment. Are they became somewhat Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Do you have to live here? Just you own the house in Eretz Yisrael, you come to visit. When are you really Mekayim the mitzvah? If you visit here, you live here, you own here. It's an interesting discussion, not for today, but what exactly is the mitzvah? A person who comes visiting Eretz Yisrael, is he Mekayim somewhat Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? I think if you spend a lot of money and you contribute to the economy of Eretz Yisrael, I think, you know, a person could really make a big argument that while you're here, at least, and you spend a lot of money and really contribute to the economy, you take everybody out for dinner. So I never understood that, because a lot of parents come here and take out a lot of boys for dinner. There's halacha of Talmud Shegala, Galim Rabba Oimo. So I never understood that. You go out for dinner, why don't they take the Rabbanim also? I never understood that. When I was in Toronto, the first year that I was in Toronto, so the school schedule, the calendar for the year, was made up by the previous principal. And I came into school, now I'm in charge. I get the schedule, which was given out to, you know, the Misrad HaChinuch in Canada, and says they were off from December 21st to January 2nd. I blew my top. What do you mean you were off from December 25th to January 2nd? How could that be? So I tried to change the calendar. I changed the school calendar. I had to go to the Board of Education. And then the parents all came to me and said, I'm sorry, we all have tickets for Florida. We can't change our tickets. We're all going. It's a minute to Toronto. Then you all go to Florida for the vacation. So I told them, there's halacha, Talmud Shegala Galim Rabbo Imo. It's not fair. The students go to Toronto, so, to Miami. So the next day, there was a ticket on my desk for me to go to Toronto. The guys thought it was the biggest stick in the world. Like in those days, let's say it cost $300 to go to Miami. So they chipped in $2 each, whatever it was, you know. They thought it was very funny, and they put me a ticket. I gave it back. I didn't go. Because I went to New York for a little vacation instead. I did go. I wasn't going to stay there. I'll never forget, I met Reb David Lifshitz. And he liked to toy with me. He loved this. What are you doing here? I said, the yeshiva is chofesh. Why do you have chofesh? He was waiting for me to tell him Christmas, you know. Oh my God. I didn't know what to do. I can't have. Talmud Shegala Galim Rabbo Imo. I gave just a side comment about going out for dinner. Go back to our topic. So, the din is, Eretz Yisrael was owned by them. It's right. So why was that true? So, the Kenyan of Eretz Yisrael, they really owned Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they partially fulfilled the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe Chan, the Dvar Avram, explained a svara, an interesting svara. Why is it that a Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim in Ro'i, only in Muksak? He says, who knows what's going to happen? It's true, my father was owed $2 million, but it's not his. Maybe he'll get it, maybe he won't get it. That's true, says the Dvar Avram. You know what the Dvar Avram was, right? Dvar Avram was Rabbi Avram Dober Kano Shapiro, who was the rabbi, the chief rabbi of Kovne. He's the person that gave Smicha to Rav Soloveitchik. And you can see a copy of the Smicha. It's written now, but it's in a book about the Rav. But that smicha says, it's an unbelievable smicha. It says, halacha kamosa b'chamakam. It's an unbelievable smicha. Like, nobody would write a smicha like that today. Halacha kamosa b'chamakam. That's whatever the Rav says is absolutely right. That's what the Dvar Avram wrote to the Rav. So, the Dvar Avram said, because God's promise will definitely come true. You owe me $50. Remember, you owe me $50. Will I get it? Maybe, yeah, maybe no. I don't know. I hope, I trust you a lot that you'll pay me back my $50. But it's a hope and trust. But if God promises me that he'll pay me back the $50, then it's going to happen. It's definitely true. So that's what the Rav Ram says. It's not Roy. It's Muchzak. Because the promise of Kodesh Baruch Hu is like money in the bank. It's mine. Rebbe Chanan asked the question. Rebbe Chanan asked the Kasha, If Eretz of Muchzekes from the times of Yitzias Mitzrayim. He says, that's not true. Eretz Muchzekes from before. When Eretz of Muchzekes from? From Avraham Avinu. That's the kasha of Rebbe Chanan Wasserman. For those people that want to look up more what I just said, two things. One, Rebbe Chanan is found in Bava Basra and in Kovetz Shiurim and Daf Kuf Yates. Secondly, I wrote about this once in the KMTT, and you can look it up. What I'm saying basically is something I once wrote. So the Rebbe Chanan asked, how could it be that Eretz Yisrael's Muchzekes from the time of Yitzhak of China? It's Muchzekes from Avraham Avinu. So I answered the kasha there, and I wrote like this. I don't remember if I wrote this by myself. I heard it from someone else. Right now, I don't know anybody else who said it. I don't remember. But I gave the answer. There are two halachas in Eretz Yisrael. It's a kinyan klali and a kinyan prati. Kinyan klali means Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. That's called the kinyan klali. But what do you own? What do I own? Right now, there's a Tosfos. I'll give a person a very big yashikayach if he can tell me where the Tosfos is. There's a Tosfos says that everybody has Arba Amos in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody. Every Jew owns Arba Amos in Eretz Yisrael. It's not just an idea. It's a halachic concept for purposes of, let's say, writing a prusbo. That you all have Arba Amos in Eretz Yisrael. Where is it? What daf? In what connection?
Rav Sado, who was in Chutz Haaretz, Pahuderma, because he gave a korban.
You're talking about something good, but you got to work it out a little bit better. You're pretty good. You get a yashikayach. I don't know if a big yashikayach, but you get a yashikayach. You know, there's a piece in the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos that the Rambam is very proud of his chiddush. He calls it the Nekuda Nifla. If you ask guys who know how to learn, ask them what's the Nekuda Nifla, they'll tell you right away. It's a very famous point. The Rambam said Nekuda Nifla. One time the Rav was in Shia mentioning the Nekuda Nifla. And then after a while he realized, I don't even know if you guys what the Nekuda Nifla is. So he's discussing the Nekuda Nifla without explaining it. We all knew. So he says, okay guys, who knows what the Nekuda Nifla is? So one guy raises his hand. And he said it to the Rav. The Rav was really, he loved it. When he made a joke, he was the happiest person in the world. He really loved it. He looks at the guy and he's really so happy. The Rav looks at him, all right, I will tell you. You know the Nekuda, but you don't have the faintest idea what's Nifla about it. So he gets a Yashkayach. Maybe not a big, big Yashkayach, but he gets a Yashkayach. Anyway, back to our topic. So everybody owns the Abamos Eretz Yisrael. But which Abamos? What do you have? Am Yisrael Begadol owns Eretz Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it us. When did he give it us? At creation of the world. It belongs to me from creation of the world. But it doesn't belong to individuals. It wasn't mechulak to people, to Shvatim. At the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Eretz Yisrael mechulakat to Shvatim. That's when Eretz Yisrael was given out. Parceled by family. The proof is Chayfer had already his share. This one had his share. That one had his share. So Eretz Yisrael Muchzekes is the halachic part of today. It's not so much the mitzvah, but more of the halachic issue that I want to explain, the Eretz Yisrael Muchzekes. But now we'll switch and talk about the other part of it. Eretz Yisrael is called the Morasha. V'nasati osav lachem Morasha ani Hashem. Eretz Yisrael is the Morasha. Now, when people translate the word Morasha in English, they'll probably say some word like inheritance. But of course, there's a difference in Hebrew between the word Morasha and Yerusha. Yerusha is Kal, and Morasha is Hifil. So there are two things in the world that are called Morasha and not Yerusha. Eretz Yisrael and Torah. We know the pasuk that everybody should know from the earliest childhood, Torah Tzifalina Moshe, Morasha Kilat Yaakov. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Haskein Atzmach L'mot Torah She... Anybody can finish that? The truth is that I want somebody to finish it because I'm gonna not quote it exactly. I hate to make a mistake and not quote something exactly. I don't remember exactly. Haskein Atzmach L'mot Torah She'eino Yerusha. Torah is not Yerusha, but Torah is a Yerusha. It's a Morasha. The Sfasemas asked this question. How could it be that Israel is a Yerusha? So the answer, of course, is that it's between Marasha and Yerusha. What's the difference between Marasha and Yerusha? What's the difference? Marasha is Hifil, Yerusha is Kal. My father passed away, I inherited. What did I have to do about it? Nothing. Yerusha is passive. You don't do anything. It comes to you automatically. Marasha means you have to do something about it. It's not enough just to get it from someone else. You have to do something about it. Both Eretz Yisrael and Torah are Marasha. So in what respect are they Marasha? If I have to do something, what does Marasha mean? So I'll first explain with Torah and then I'll talk about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a Marasha. What does that mean? First of all, it does mean that your parents, your grandparents, and the whole tradition of your family is a big help. If your father is a Talmud Chacham and your grandfather is a Talmud Chacham, if you grow to be a Talmud Chacham, then it's easier for your children. You grow up in a house of a Talmud Chacham. I quote this a lot, but I think it's really an amazing statement. The Rav once said, in my family, to grow up not to be a Talmud Chacham, you'd have to be a genius. It was like, that's what they did at the table. They spoke Torah all the time. They spoke Lamedes. Everybody knew. So, it is somehow by family. But if you don't do anything about it, it's not worth anything. You can have your father be the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world. If you don't learn, you're not going to... It's easier if your father's a Talmud Chacham. That's true. Rav Amital used to say that Yichus is a big Ephes. Ephes! Put a one in front of the zeros, it's a lot. If you put 1 0, 2 zeros, 3 zeros, and just put one little one instead of it, in front of it, the more it is, it's going to get bigger. But you have to put something before it. Yichus by itself is an Ephes. So Torah, it's easier if you come from a family of Torah and come from a grand. It's really easier. But I like to explain even more than that. I've done this so many times before, but I'm going to do it again. There's a Gemara in Meseches Nida, I think Daf Lamed, but everybody knows this Gemara. The Gemara says, before you were born, you knew the entire Torah. But the Malach touched and you forgot it. You remember this? So you all know that this Gemara, because it's told to you when you're children. And then, of course, you can ask the question, what's the point of knowing Torah when you were before you were born? What's the point of this Gemara? You knew Kol HaTorah Kula before you were born. You know what? It sounds like a tragedy to be born. Before that, I knew Torah. Excuse me, the fellow over there with the white collar. Yo, what's your name? Yonatan. Oh, yeah, Yonatan. I do that on purpose when I ask somebody who I really do remember their name, but very often, it can slip my mind, you call it a senior moment, call it whatever you want. But I ask the person, what's your name? And he tells me his name, and I go, oh yeah. What's Pshat, oh yeah? I said automatically, oh yeah. What does oh yeah mean? That you're telling me the truth? I know you're telling me the truth. That you know your name? I know you know your name. So what's the oh yeah mean? Oh yeah means, deep down I remembered it. I couldn't retrieve it at the present moment, but I really do know it. It's part of my, what I call it, the information stored in my brain, but just I can't retrieve it at the right time. That's what Torah is. Torah is built into the human personality. It's Morasha, it's a Yerusha. It's a Yerusha that you did learn Torah, it's part of you. Just you have to develop it. If you don't develop it, nothing's going to happen. So it's a Morasha. The same thing is true of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. We have the rights to Eretz Yisrael, we own Eretz Yisrael. But if we don't do anything about it, it's not going to belong to us. The promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the very first day of creation, Koach Masav Higidlamo, the people remember that first Rashi, not exactly the first, but very close to the first Rashi in Chumash, Koach Masav Higidlamo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael, belongs to Am Yisrael. But you have to do something about it. If you don't do anything, you have to pay. What do you pay to get Eretz Yisrael, and what do you have to pay to get Torah? Anybody know what you have to pay to get Torah? Anybody want to say? You acquire Torah. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Everybody should know the Mishnah by heart. 48 ways of buying Torah. Memches drachim, the Torah nicknames. Torah nicknames by Memches drachim. Some of them you said. Some of them could, everybody could say. Some of them are obvious. Yegia. Yegia is effort. It's part of a kinyan of Torah. Theoretically, if you could acquire Torah without Yegia, it's not worth much. Torah has to be acquired with Yegia. Rishami in Bava Basra in the 8th Perek about Yerusha and Marasha Lashon Deya with Yegia, you have to make an effort. You don't make an effort. You know, they tell a story. It's a story. I can't swear this is true. Tell a story that Vilna Gaon was asked if he wants to learn with a Malach. A Malach came and said he'd learn with him. And he said, no, I don't want somebody to spoon feed me Torah. I want to learn Torah with my own Yegia. Theoretically, if you could develop a method where you could go to sleep at night, put a tape recorder under your pillow, tape recorder, you see how old I am? Whatever, iPod, iPhone, I know there are such things. So you put them under your pillow and then wake up in the morning, you're a Talmid Chacham, that's without Yegia. That's not the way to acquire Torah. Torah is acquired through Yegia. Through other 47 ways as well, 48 altogether, learning B'chavrusa is one of the ways to acquire Torah. Of a lot of reasons which I won't go into now. How do you acquire Eretz Yisrael? So you say with effort. But unfortunately, one of the conditions to acquire Eretz Yisrael is Yisurin. Shalosh Matanos, three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and they're acquired not just with Yegia, with Yisurin. Yisurin means pain, affliction, troubles, problems, but that's the way to acquire Eretz Yisrael. When I came in Aliyah, the first few weeks I was here, after I was here a few weeks, one day I was in a very, very bad mood. Things were not working out. I had a lot of problems. So I walk in to eat breakfast in the yeshiva, which I was teaching at the time, not Gush. And I was walked in, and the ramen there were all Israeli. They had no sympathy, no feelings for an Olech Hadash. Nothing. They couldn't understand why I came in Aliyah in the first place. And they said to me, you look upset. I told them I'm having a lot of issues. So they said to me, those days I had problems, today I would have issues. But they said to me, Eretz Yisrael nicknames be Yisurim, so what are you complaining? I said, yeah, but they're different Shiurim of Yisurim. I don't need the Shiur Chazon Ish. A small Shiur of Yisurim would be good enough. And that's true, by the way. There are certain things that are inescapable in the world, but you don't have to have too much. Eretz Yisrael nicknames be Yisurim. Yisurim, when a mild... So I'm just going to finish, because the time is really up, with an idea that I heard from Rav Neria. And I'll just tell you the story very quickly. When the Rav was saying Shir one year, so Rav Neria, who was the Rosh Hashiva, Bnei Akiva Yeshiva, in Eretz Yisrael, came to visit America. And he wanted to go into the Shir. The regular Gemara Shir. So he came to sit in the regular Gemara Shir and sat there. And the Rav was very nice. The Rav spoke and said, you know, I want the guys to know what a privilege we have Rav Neria with us. And he talked about Rav Neria. Then when he finished the shiur, so the Rav said to Rav Neria, would you like to say something to the boys? So the truth is, I was shocked because Rav Neria spoke directly about the shiur, directly about the topic the Rav spoke, and started bekiyas that the Rav did not discuss in shiur. He quoted Tshuva Chasam Sofer about this sugya. I was very impressed by it. And he gave a little bit of a shiur. At the end, he added one more thing. We were learning sukkah. So he added one more idea that I'm going to finish with today. The pasuk says, V'nosra v'asziyam kesukkah v'charet. Pasuk in Yeshayahu, that Eretz Yisrael is compared to a sukkah. And I can give a number of places where Eretz Yisrael is compared to a sukkah. So a lot of people say that there are two mitzvahs. Perhaps you can talk about mikveh. But the idea of sukkah in Eretz Yisrael, you have to go in completely. If you generally do a mitzvah, you put on tefillin, your head, your arm, but your legs aren't in tefillin. But generally, you do a mitzvah, whatever part of your body you do it with. But two mitzvahs, maybe three, you enter completely. Sukkah and Eretz Yisrael, that's the comparison. Rav Neria said in the name of the Vilna Gaon, I don't know where this Vilna Gaon is. If you find it, I'll give you a bigger yeshikayah. So he said in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that Eretz Yisrael and Sukkah have another thing in common with them. By Sukkah, there's a psul called Tasa Velo Menaser. You have to build a Sukkah. If the sukkah is made automatically, it's not a sukkah. You have to build the sukkah. V'lo menasi. He said the name of the Vilna Gaon, Eretz Yisrael, is like a sukkah. Taaseh v'lo menasi. It's not enough just to find Eretz Yisrael and you're here and you enjoy everything about Eretz Yisrael. You have to build. You have to do something. You have to create something. So the people that are part and parcel building Eretz Yisrael, they really fulfill the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. The Avnezer was a big Zionist. And Avnezer wrote in the tshuva, why didn't he come on Aliyah? And one of the things he wrote in the tshuva is that he said, I couldn't really build Eretz Yisrael. What would I do? I'd sit and teach in the yeshiva. I'd be in a kollel. That's not building Eretz Yisrael. The real mitzvah is to build Eretz Yisrael. I can't fulfill that anyway. You can discuss that, yes, no, maybe. But the idea that Eretz Yisrael is a Morasha, Yerusha, but you have to do something about it, I think is a very true idea. Have a good day.
I have very in regard to the
How do you know?
A very close family.